2 Peter chapter 3, look at verse 3. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. In other words, they don't believe anything is different. They think the whole history of the earth, it's all been the same, and they don't realize that between the Garden of Eden 6,000 years ago and the flood, the entire atmosphere was different. The canopy effect, double the air pressure. You say, are you sure? It had to be that way. You say, how do you know? Take a brontosaurus. You know what a brontosaurus looks like? It's the big thing with the long neck and the long tail. 80 feet, 30 tons. Its nostrils on its small head were the same size as a modern-day horse. How did it get enough oxygen for that whole body? The air pressure was greater. The oxygen content in the air was higher. For it to breathe, the conditions were different. The atmospheric conditions were different. And the earth is only 6,000 years old. The oldest language that they can find, Chinese, is only 5,000 years. They'll date it at around 5,000 years. You say, how come? Because 4,000 years ago, from where we're at, 4,400 years ago, there was a flood where God started over. The scoffers say, well, it was only an area flood. Only that part of it. Really? Really? Only an area flood. Then why did God tell Noah to build an ark? How come he didn't tell Noah to move? Well, I'm just saying he had 120 years to do so. In 120 years, you can walk from stinking Asia Minor to, I don't care, wherever there's no flood. No, it was a worldwide flood. It was not an area-wide flood. 4,400 years ago, God started over with eight people. And that's how come there is no language on the earth that is older that they can date as far as they can with whatever that goes past 5,000 years. You say, why? Because God started over again 4,400 years ago. From this 1,656 years after God created the earth is from Eden to the flood. Now, with that in mind, things have been always the same. They don't want to face the fact that the atmosphere was different. All things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. Look at verse 5. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God, the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water. The world, the word of God, by the word of God, the heavens were of old. God spoke things into existence. There's water under the crust now. The earth standing out of the water and in the water. You can learn a lot about geology from your Bible. There's so much science in Job chapter 38 where God speaks and God is telling them. I mean, there's so much science. True science is backed up by the Bible. The Bible is truth, and false science will contradict the Bible. True science lines up with the Bible. Lines up with the Bible. Verse 6, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. God flooded the whole earth. God judged the world. They don't like that. They don't like facing the fact that God spoke things into existence. Because if God spoke them into existence, then God owns the earth. And if God made you, God owns you. And you don't get to do your own thing. And it's not your life. God gave you dominion, but you have someone to answer to. And it's always been an authority problem. Do you understand? That's why you have to. That's why I spoke to a Mormon this week. 2 hours. 2 hours. We went at it. I said, every time I show you something in the Bible that goes against your religion, you discredit the book. I said, and you have to. I said, you have no choice. I said, do you know why? Because you've made an organization your authority. This book is not your authority. And if your organization tells you something that's different than what the book says, you choose your organization. I said, until you denounce that Mormonism is wrong, I said, you're never going to get saved. It's an authority issue. Is how much is this book an authority? And it's always been an authority issue. Can God tell you what to do? Can God contradict your reasoning or logic? And that's where false religions come up with. Here we go. Let's keep on going here. Look at verse 7. But the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. Scoffers don't like this. They don't like creation. They don't like the fact that 4,400 years ago there was a flood. God destroyed the earth the first time by water. And the next time God destroys the earth before the new heaven and new earth, it's going to be by fire. It's His creation and He has the power to judge it. And that's what they don't like. They scoff at it. Oh, you're old-fashioned. You're holding to... Here we go. Just a few more verses here. Look at verse 8. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. That is talking about prophecy. So 6 days of creation, okay, God created the earth in 6 days and rested on the seventh. Then there's 6,000 years of world history. And guess what happens on the seventh? The earth is going to go back to the way it was in the Garden of Eden. Air pressure, everything. And for 1,000 years, Jesus is going to rule and reign the whole universe out of Jerusalem. Then once all the resources of the world are used up, all the oil's gone, everything, then the earth explodes. And that's when the new heaven and the new earth come into play. And then time is no more. So there is 6,000 years of history of man, another 1,000 years, Sabbath, for Jesus is going to reign, and then the earth explodes. You say, are you sure? Watch this. Look at verse number 9. The Lord is not slack concerning His promises. Some men count slackness, but His long-suffering to us. We're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which, watch, the heavens shall pass away with a great noise. That's an explosion. And the elements, the atmosphere, shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. No, once the resources are finished at the end of the millennium, then the earth explodes. And then God gives us a new heaven and a new earth for those that are saved. But the damned, many believe that hell, right now, is in the center of the earth, and when the earth explodes right before the great white throne, I'm using Bible to put things into place. But then when the earth explodes, it says there was found no place for them. So those that are burning in hell right now will be floating, and they'll see the great white throne, and there's no place for them to hide. They're judged. They're cast into the lake of fire. Where's that? I don't know. I know it's real. And then when that's done, then the new heaven and the new earth. You see, if you know, for a Christian, prophecy helps us know where we're going, and it also helps to know where you come from. But if they can rewrite history and teach you came from an animal, then that dictates how you act. And it's okay to act like an animal if you come from an animal. Okay, which is a mockery and blasphemy of God. Let me just read you one more thing. Look at verse 11. I wish you'd look at this later. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness? It's all going to burn. Be careful what you live for. Be careful what you give your life to. We have to live in this world. It takes money to live. I understand that. But be careful what you let consume you. Because I would hate to give my life to something where nothing eternal was done. And it's all burned up. And I didn't say it was sinful. It was just all temporal. Everything was earthly. Everything had to do with temporary. Nothing was eternal. So the question in the Bible that God asks us is, if you knew everything you could see right now except that book, the only thing that's going to be in heaven that's right here on this earth is that book that you got in front of you. If you knew everything else was going to be burned up, would it change any way you live? Would it change what you live for? Good question, isn't it? It's good to meditate on. It's a good thing to think about. God wants you thinking that way. Now that we understand that this, what we're studying, is criticized. Scoffers Oh, it was an area flood. Whatever. Let's go to Genesis 6 now and let's look at the flood. Genesis chapter 6, 7, 8, and 9 is the flood. I'm going to give you a lot of things that you can look at and think about, and we're going to go fairly quick. Verse number 1, Genesis 6, verse 1, and it came to pass, when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair or beautiful. And they took them wives of all which they chose. I'm sorry, excuse me. I burped. That breakfast was good. Amen. Okay, sorry about that. That was an Apache burp. It snuck up on me. Okay, never mind. Here we go. Verse 3. Okay. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man. Let me stop here on verse 2. When it says, the sons of God saw the daughters of men, there's two interpretations of that. Some say the sons of Seth saw the daughters of Cain. And the marriage between the good line of Adam and the bad line of Cain is what caused violence to be on the face of the earth, and God judged the earth. The only reason I disagree with that is the word sons of God. If you take a concordance and you look it up yourself, it's found 5 times in your Bible. Sons of God in the Old Testament. In the New Testament, every time you see sons of God, it's talking about when you're saved. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, to them that believe on his name. So when you trust Christ as your Savior in the New Testament, you become a son of God, a child of God. But in the Old Testament, whenever you look up sons of God, it is not talking about saved people. You say, how do you know that? We don't have time this morning, but if you went to Job 38, it says, when God laid the foundations of the earth, the sons of God rejoiced. Before man was created, the sons of God... It's not talking about saved people. It's talking about angels. If you go to Job 1, it says, the sons of God came to appear before God, and Satan, who was going to and fro hither about the earth, came and appeared. It's talking about an angelic appearance before God. I find that easier to accept, and I wouldn't argue over anybody about it. I'll just say this. Why would angels want to cohabitat with women? Because back in Genesis 3, what did God tell the serpent? The seed of the woman will crush the head of the seed of the serpent, or the Antichrist, the seed of Satan. So if he knew that somehow the prophecy, the first prophecy in your Bible of Jesus coming to crush Satan's power on the cross, was that the seed of the woman is going to crush the head of the serpent, and the seed of the serpent is going to bruise his heel. What? That's what happened at the crucifixion, right? But he rose again from the dead. Okay? So if Satan knew that, then Satan would try to do what? Corrupt the seed of the woman. He knows that this is his destruction. So it appears. It appears. And once again, I don't argue with this. I've kind of held to both, and now I lean more towards this, that the sons of God in the Old Testament are angels. And it appeared that angels, Satan now is trying to corrupt the seed that he knows is going to one day destroy him. So once that gets spread, and the genetic manipulation and all that stuff, here we go, keep on going, ready? It says verse 3, and the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. God says, you know what? 900 years is a long time for somebody to live. In this atmosphere between Eden and the flood, they're living 900 years. And God says, you know, with a sin nature, keep in mind that double the air pressure, the 50% more oxygen when you breathe, you can run 100 miles at a full sprint and never get winded. You don't need a car. You run to grandma's house. Amen? Come on, let's go for a run. It'll be great. Don't even sweat. The oxygen level is so high. It's called the canopy effect. And you say, are you sure? Just that type of an atmosphere causes insects to get bigger because insects breathe through their skin. Right now, a dragonfly gets to be about 6 inches wingspan. There's fossils with dragonflies up to 5 feet wingspan. You say, what are the dinosaurs? They're overgrown lizards. Lizards never stop growing. They never stop growing. In this type of an atmosphere that God created, they kept getting bigger and bigger and bigger. People were bigger. There are skeletons found all, not just of Goliath. Goliath had three brothers that were giants. Goliath was, 11 feet 2 or something like that. There's 12 foot, 15 foot skeletons. The biggest skeleton that they have found, three. Look it up sometime. 336 foot skeletons. When you read Amos 2:9, it says the giants were as tall as cedar trees. Do you know how big a cedar gets? Starts at about 36, they go up to 150 feet. There were people that were 36 feet tall. They have skeletons. I looked it up. They have archaeologists digging up skeletons. Three of them have been found where the skull is like two-thirds the size of a man. And they're, you say the atmosphere back here. Has everybody heard of Stonehenge?
Yes.
Okay. It's the most popular, large, monolithic stone structure that they don't know how it was built. But when you look at Baalbek, that's in Lebanon, those stones in there are so large they don't even have the weight measured. And they were quarried 5 miles away, carried and lifted 36 feet in the air. And they have no, and put so closely that you can't put a razor blade in between them. And they have no idea how they were built. Unless somebody was 36 feet tall. There were giants in those days, because we're going to read about that here in just a second. There's in South America, Mexico, in Europe, we know in Britain, we know in Africa, there's all types of huge stone structures that they have no idea were built all over the earth. It's just Stonehenge is the most popular one. They're saying, well, we don't even have the technology. We don't even know how big these stones are. And watch this. The Smithsonian up here, that's what, 50 miles from us, is the most guilty of covering up giant skeletons. If you find a giant skeleton, they cover it up. You say, why? Because that doesn't fit evolution. We're supposed to come from monkeys and supposed to start small and get bigger. But if there were giants in those days that were up to 36 feet tall, that kind of smashes, and we're getting worse and worse, that kind of abolishes the whole theory. Smithsonian up here has covered up any type of a large skeleton for years. They keep them there, but if you find one, they will not put it on display. You say, why? Because it doesn't fit evolution. It goes against the theory. It's a cover-up. It's not true science. It's silence. Here, let's keep on going here. Ready? God sets a time frame. 120 years from now, he's going to judge the earth. And 120 years needs to be about the average age of a man. Okay, verse 4. There were giants in the earth in those days. And also, after that, watch. When the sons of God, there's the second time in the same chapter it's found, the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, and they bare children to them. The same became mighty men which were of old, men of renown. So something's happening with these children that are coming, being born from hybrids of angels and humans, and God is going to judge the earth because we were made in God's image. And God says, when my image is defiled, God says the earth becomes corrupt. You see, some people say that picture that you have in your lesson, okay, you've got this back here. If you look at the back page, that picture of the ark right there was taken out of Ron Wyatt's museum. We went there. It's in Tennessee. He's an archaeologist. He did a study on Sodom and Gomorrah. He did study on the Ark. He found the ribs that were on mountains of Ararat. He built that scale model in his museum that goes from, it's about 12 feet long, 12, 15 feet long. And that is the truest rendition that you will find of any ark that was built. You say, how could four men, Noah, Ham, Shem, and Japheth, build such a big boat? We'll get into that in just a second. If they were normal size like you and me, they were natural. That atmosphere it's conducive to big people. There were Noah, Ham, Shem, and Japheth. I think they were big men, able to handle. I don't think they were huge like the hybrids between angels and people, because here I'll show you that in just a second. But I think they were big men. They said, how could four men in 120 years build an ark like that? Three stories. The one that they found on Mount Ararat is 515 feet long. 515 feet long. That's huge. That's 85 feet short of two football fields. Two football fields. If you ever get that pictured in your head, that's huge. Before we get into it, as far as just understanding, I think Noah and Ham, Shem, and Japheth, we don't know how big they were, but I think they were a little larger than normal size men. And I think they could do a lot of work. They had an atmosphere where they could go full tilt. It took them 120 years to build that ark. Verse number 5, and God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. There's the first time the word repent is found in your Bible. And who's the first one to repent? God. That's how come I know it doesn't mean turn from sin. Because God never sinned. God never had to turn from sin. But what does the word repent mean? It means to change your mind. God said, they have so corrupted themselves that now I'm wishing I had never made man. The one that after he made man, when he said, it is good. But now God says, I wish I would never have made man. They have so corrupted themselves. I think part of it is with the angel hybrids and the humans here. Keep on reading here. That he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. Verse 7, and the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and the creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. That's the first time the word grace is found in your Bible. Noah found grace. Look at the next verse, verse number 9. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God. I have that word perfect underlined in my Bible. I think it's dealing with Noah did not get involved with the genetic manipulation of angels and hybrids with humans. And God said, Noah, because he's perfect and did not get involved in that, I'll save his family. I we'll find out when we get to heaven. I'm speculating right now. Does everybody understand? I'm not saying thus. I'm saying I'm reading it, and I'm looking at what angered God, and then I'm looking how come God saves Noah, 8 people off the face of the earth. Okay, we don't know what the population was. I think it was millions, but watch this. Verse 10. And Noah begat 3 sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. The earth also, watch this, was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. When you look up the word corrupt, it means depraved, changed from the naturally sound condition, infected or defiled by that which causes decay. Something happened. It wasn't just the violence, it was the corruption of God's image that he created in us. And God said, my image has been defiled, and I'm going to destroy everything on the face of the earth. And I'm going to start over again with 8 people. Okay? It's not just, yes, God hates violence. You read that, violence is in that chapter many times. What angered God? But I think if you put all of that together, it gives you a picture of why did God start over again. Okay? Keep on going. And I better watch the time. Oh, we're not even in the in the flood here. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt for all flesh, and corrupted his way upon the earth. Verse 13, and God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. So at the end of chapter 6, he tells, make a ark of gopher wood. In and out of it, pitch it. This ark that they found on the mountains of Ararat, it was laminate wood. And the wood that was layered had no growth rings in it because there's no seasons. Seasons don't happen until God changes the atmosphere. Well, okay, was the outside pitch? What they found is, what he found was the laminate wood. If you take a board this way, and you pitch it, you put pitch on it, and you take a board, and then you put a board over the seam, and you keep doing that, that'd make a pretty airtight. That's what they found. And there were rivets in the boat that were alloy. Not tin, not bronze, not iron. They were alloy. You say, where did that come from? Didn't Adam have perfect intelligence when God created him? He's going to pass that on. He knew a whole bunch. Batteries, if not just electricity. The Egyptians had batteries, okay? There's pictures of all of that, okay? Not just Benjamin Franklin with his kite. Okay, he's not the only. Electricity goes back before, but if God gave Adam perfect intelligence and then the fall happened, then he started dying. Okay, his spirit died and then his body started dying. There were things that they knew back then. There were things that they, in other words, they weren't cavemen. they weren't that way. They had a, God taught Adam a lot, I think, in the garden. God showed him a lot. Put it into practice. Here we go. Let's start reading here at verse 7. In between chapter 6 and 7, I have in my Bible written, I wrote 120 years. Is in between chapter 6 and 7. Now when you start reading verse 1, and the Lord said unto Noah, Come thou and all thy house into the ark, for thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. Of every clean beast thou shalt take of thee by sevens, the male and his female, and the beasts that are not clean by two. So watch this. What was in the ark? Two of every animal, of land animals and birds. He wasn't taking fishes, right? They made it just fine. Okay? And he didn't take insects. All he took was birds and land animals. And then he didn't take every type of a dog. He took animals after their kind. He took a male and a female dog. He took a male and a female cat. He took a male and a female lion. He took a male and a female. You say all the dogs come from two. All the different types come from two. And the professionals say there's about 8,000 different kinds of animals in the world. There's a lot more types or species of each. Okay, a zebra and a horse all come from a horse. They're different types of horses. No, he didn't have zebras in that. He had two horses. He had two elephants. He had two tigers. He had two. And they say the space, this thing had three stories. One, two, three. They say the space on it was the same size. Area per footage, square footage, is the same as about 350 railroad cars. That's a lot of space. You say, did he put dinosaurs on there? Yeah, but remember, dinosaurs are lizards that keep growing. He didn't have to put the biggest ones on there. Put small ones on there. He didn't have to put the biggest. Well, there wouldn't be room for all of them. Yes, there would be. There'd be room for all of them. Okay? He didn't put any fish or insects on there. Chapter 7, look at verse 11. In the 600th year of Noah's life, so he's 600 years old. I don't think they looked old. You say, man, I bet he was so wrinkled he could screw his hat on. Okay. No, the canopy effect would have kept the ultraviolet radiation from the sun from coming through too. That's what ages us. That's what kills our skin. I think when Noah's 600 years old, I think because of the atmosphere, I think he wasn't wrinkled. the atmosphere was conducive. They were, it was a different atmosphere. Keep in mind, watch this, look at verse here. It says, the same day were all the fountains of the deep, great deep broken up, and the windows of heaven were opened. And rain was upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights. In the selfsame day entered Noah and Shem and Ham and Japheth, the sons of Noah, and Noah's wives and the three wives of his sons with him into the ark. And then look at the end of verse 16. And the Lord shut him in. God shut the door. Can you imagine when that rain started? If you do a little math, okay, because I looked at verse 20 in chapter 7, 15 cubits upward did the waters prevail, and the mountains were covered, and all flesh died and moved that moved upon the earth. Okay, stop. What's the tallest mountain in the world? Mount Everest. How tall is it? 29,029 feet. It says the fountains broke up, so water came up, and for 40 days water came down. It doesn't say how much. So I just took the halfway mark. You ready? I don't know how much water came up. God says He founded it, the earth upon the waters. So there was waters under the crust. That's where the fault lines come from. San Andreas fault, you know, all those. None of them are my fault. Okay, that was, come on. They break up and the water comes up. And then for 40 days the water comes down. I just did a little math. 40 days is going to be 960 hours. If you cut Mount Everest in half, it says the water rose 15 cubits or 45 feet above the top of the mountains. Had to for the ark to not catch the bottom, right? Rip it open. So the water rose to 45 feet above the tallest mountain. If you take that distance and divide it in half, you end up with 14,537 feet. That means for 40 days and 40 nights, if water filled up just half, that was 3 inches a minute. That's 180 inches per hour. Heaviest rain I've ever been in was last year. I'll never forget it. 20 inches in 1 hour. I know, because our house almost flooded. Me and all the boys were on our back porch. Push! Push the water! Push! We found out that's the heaviest rain I've ever been in. We could only see, with water raining that fast, we could only see about 30 feet. It was coming down hard. I'm sure in monsoons it may come. Can you imagine 3 inches of water a minute? You probably couldn't see your hand if you held it in front of your face. There'd be so much water falling. The water in the atmosphere. It did that for 40 days and 40 nights. Can you imagine what it was like for 8 people to be inside the ark? And as the water's coming up 3 inches a minute, people start beating on the ark. Noah, let us in. God shut him in. He couldn't open the door. Noah, we're sorry we laughed at you. Please, we're drowning out here. My children, Noah. Can you imagine sitting with your wife and your kids in the ark and you listen to them die on the outside? But while he was building it, he built it by faith. Noah, I want you to build an ark. What's on? He'd never seen rain before. It never rained on the face of the earth. I'm going to flood the earth. What's a flood? Just do what I tell you, Noah. He did everything by faith. And while he's building, what are you building, Noah? Building a boat. Ha! How come? God's going to destroy the earth with water and a flood. Ha! Ha! And it says they mocked and he preached for 120 years and nobody listened. Until the day it started raining.
Noah! I'm sorry!
And then eventually, as the ark lifted up, the sound started dissipated more and more. And then they were in that ark for 13 months. And you can kind of read it. And God started over. This story is very true, and I think it helps if we read our Bible. Take your Bible literally. Amen? Read your Bible literally. I hope I got you started. I hope I got you started on it, okay? It's wonderful. I think it's something every child of God ought to know something.